Now in chapter 13, well, we're still in this section of learning some of the great principles of life, and they're all given to us here. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Though Solomon was not David's favorite son, Solomon at least listened to him. And he's an example of a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And this man Rehoboam, his son, would not listen. Boy, Rehoboam is really an example for us of the dark side or the negative side here in many of these proverbs. But there are others that we could find. Verse 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There is a type of talking today that is gossip. It's foolish talking. As we've seen before, it borders on the borderline of being risque, of telling things that have a double meaning, this double entendre jokes that even get into Christian circles today, and they begin especially to get on this matter of sex. And I've noticed that many of these folk take courses on sex. My, they've had courses in it, and yet every now and then you hear of a home being broken up, a husband running away with another woman, and all that sort of thing. That's all the result of this type of borderline living. And that's the thing that we are being warned about here, and the young man is told to beware of it. Now we are told here, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Well, you remember Paul put it right on the line for the Thessalonians. There were some pious souls over there say, we're looking for the Lord to come, and they quit work. And Paul says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Let's not feed him. You're to work. And if you really believe the Lord's coming, it will make you a worker. Now he says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a lawless man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is perfect in the way, but lawlessness overthroweth the sinner. And this is truth in the inward part. That is the background of practical righteousness. And that which is false, God hates it and cannot tolerate it. The child of God should recognize and deal with anything in his life. And this old nature of ours is inclined to lie. It just comes naturally for us to lie. But God says he hates it, and he will have to deal with that type of thing. Now, verse 7, there is that feigneth himself rich, yet hath nothing, and there is that feigneth himself poor, yet hath great riches. You know, here again is an example of this old nature that you and I have. If you're poor, you want to put on a front, keep up with the Joneses, and you pretend that you have something. That's the reason that some people today drive a Cadillac automobile. They want to impress folk, and they really can't afford it. They live in a neighborhood that they ought not to be living in. But on the other side, there are people that are wealthy today that always talking about how poor they are, and yet they are people of tremendous wealth. I used to have a man, a member of my church. He was a very wealthy man. He probably gave less than anyone else. Always talking about how high prices were and how much this cost him and all that sort of thing, and he'd be broke if things didn't get better, that type of thing. Both of these things are an abomination to God because it's hypocritical. It's putting up a front that we don't need to put up. We don't need to try to keep up with the Joneses, and then we ought not to act like we don't know the Joneses. We still ought to make them our neighbors. And we ought to be just what we are. And now will you notice, verse 8, the ransom of man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. And I must confess, I don't know what that proverb means, and I've tried to dig it out, but I cannot. Maybe you can enlighten me. Now, maybe the person that thinks I'm so ignorant may be able to help me at this point. Now verse 9, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the lawless shall be put out. If you read the history of the kings of Israel, we've already been over that in this first time through in our five-year program of going through the Bible. I called attention to it. There is one line after another that become kings in the northern kingdom, and then they're cut off suddenly and cut off in a violent manner by murder. That's what God says, the lamp of the lawless, it'll be put out. And how that happens again and again in this world today. The end of Hitler was not pretty. And by the way, the end of Stalin evidently was not. Apparently the doctors had a lot to do with ushering him into eternity. Verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. When you find contention in a group, a neighborhood, or in a church, or in a church group, the basis of it is pride, always that. And as someone has said, takes two to make a quarrel, always. Then we have verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now, we've found today again that these proverbs, here's one, that you've got to look at this in the light of eternity. That's the yardstick you have to put down on this, because many men apparently knew they had very foolish offspring, rich men's sons, and so they've established a trust fund, or they put certain legal chains around their estate that the offspring can't get to it, but they can live off of the income. And today there are many rich men that never made a dime in their lives, to tell the truth. They wouldn't know how to work for a living at all, and yet they are heirs to a tremendous fortune. They just can't lay their hand on it. If they did, they'd spend it all. And we see that this proverb actually would not work in that situation at all. It needs to be looked at in the light of eternity. What are true riches? What really is wealth? Is it those stocks and bonds? Well, the individual is going to lose them someday because death took them away from the original owner. Nobody came in and stole them, but he stole away. He went off and left them. And that's going to happen to those that have it today. Now, verse 12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred. You just keep hoping something that doesn't come to pass. And that's the reason that we ought to be in step with the will of God in our lives, because we hope for a great many things that are not realized at all. And then we have here, whoso, verse 13, despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understandeth giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. And again, you have all the way through this acknowledgement of God that he hates pride. He hates the lawless. He hates the hypocrite. He has no use for this type of thing that is in human nature. And that's the reason that old nature that you have and I have. God doesn't want anything that Vernon McGee does in the old nature. It's only what he can do through the new nature that God will accept today. And there's one thing for sure, he's not going to take Vernon McGee's old nature to heaven. And I'll be glad to get rid of it. All of these things that are inherent in all of us. And God makes it very clear. He says in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And that's the way that you're going to have to come to God if you're going to be accepted of him. You can't come in pride. And then as you drop down into this chapter here, and I just want to lift out now a verse or two. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. The thing today that's been very sad in our government is that we've had men that have had access to government secrets, to that which is top drawer as far as the policy of this country is concerned. And then the man is a homosexual, and the enemy finds that out, and he gets to him. Or the man has a weakness for alcohol. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. And we need men of high integrity in our government today. It is important whether the man drinks or not. I think it's tragic that there's so many men high up in government that use alcohol. I think that is part of our problem as a nation, and we need to recognize that these basic proverbs seem so simple, are so important to our life as an individual and our life as a nation. Now, verse 22, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And by the way, this is real child psychology. But for the child of God, he's told the same thing. The children are told to obey their parents, but the father is told, provoke not your children to wrath. That is, don't whip them or discipline them when you are angry or you're talking in a loud voice. Wait till you can calmly sit down with them and talk to them at a time like that. I think that's very important. That is the reason in my life that my father's discipline was so good. He never dealt with me until maybe a day had gone by. And I thought several times I got by with it, but it didn't. Then that time came, and he very calmly dealt with me. And I knew he was not doing what he did because he's angry. We need to recognize that. But discipline is very important.